Jenny Mack with your daily comedy news. So much to get to today. I can't even get it all in. I bounced so many stories to tomorrow already. They are coming for Joe Rogan. We'll talk about that. I'm worried even recording this midday on Monday that by the time you hear this, 95 more things are going to have developed. Spotify has pulled a bunch of episodes from Joe Rogan's podcast. I've seen the number 70. I've seen the numbers 100 plus. There are several Joe Rogan controversies happening all at one time right now. We've previously discussed the medical controversies around Joe Rogan's podcast. Here's the new one. Singer India Ari said she was pulling her music and podcast off Spotify, saying that, quote, "I find Joe Rogan problematic for reasons other than COVID interviews. For me, it's also his language around race." She posted a video clip on Instagram compiling 24 times that Joe Rogan used the N-word on his podcast. She said, "Joe shouldn't even be uttering the word. Don't even say it under any context. Don't say it. That's where I stand. I've always stood there." Joe Rogan went to Instagram yet again, responding to the supercut of him saying the N-word. He said, "It was the most regretful and shameful thing I've ever had to talk about publicly," adding he has not used the N-word in years. "It looks effing horrible, even to me. I know to most people, there is no context where a white person is ever allowed to say that word, never mind publicly on a podcast, and I agree with that now. It's not my word to use. I never used it to be racist, because I'm not racist, but whenever you're in a situation where you have to say, 'I'm not racist,' you effed up, and I clearly have effed up." One of the episodes that Spotify purged had guest YouTuber Gad Saad. Gad wrote on Twitter, "I believe in that particular episode, if memory serves me right, Joe had uttered the N-word. I can't remember the context, but it was not in a racist manner, notwithstanding the likely minefield." Apparently, Rogan himself requested that Spotify remove the 70 episodes in conjunction with his apology. Now, previously, going back a little bit, Spotify had pruned 43 episodes of the Joe Rogan Experience with guests such as InfoWars Alex Jones and guests Gavin McInnes and Milo Yiannopoulos. This new batch that was pulled include guests Mark Maron, LGBTQ activist and author Dan Savage, political commentator Kyle Kulinski, and comedians Bill Burr, Tom Segura, Eliza Schlesinger, Theo Vaughn, Brian Redman, Rich Voss, and Pete Holmes. As part of a statement, Rogan said, "I do hope that this can be a teachable moment for anybody that doesn't know how offensive that word can be coming out of a white person's mouth." He said he had often used the slur while quoting comedians such as Paul Mooney and Lenny Bruce, or while discussing the use of the word in movies directed by Quentin Tarantino. Whitney Cummings found herself part of the kerfluffle. She had defended Joe Rogan in a pair of tweets over the weekend. On Saturday, Whitney Cummings tweeted, "Don't look to why so many people trust Joe Rogan. Look to why so few people trust the mainstream media." Then on Sunday, she added, "Comedians did not sign up to be your hero. It's our job to be irreverent and dangerous, to question authority, and take you through a spooky mental haunted house so you can arrive at your own conclusions. Stay focused on the people we pay taxes to be moral leaders." Mark Maron replied, saying, "And maybe add 'to be funny' to the list of a comedian's duties." The Guardian had some reactions from some comedians I'm not familiar with. I'll guess these are British comedians. Comedian Pallavi Gunalan commented, saying, "Comedians will be like, 'It's our job to say things that make people uncomfortable,' and then can't even tell their racist friend to shut the F up. 'He's a good guy. He helped my career. Wow, so surprising. You wouldn't want to say anything bad about him then.'" Writer-comedian Mike Drucker said, "It feels like the primary rule of being an edgelord comedian is that no joke or subject is ever off limits unless you're making fun of another edgelord comedian, in which case it's the effing apocalypse." He added, "Comedians will tweet stuff like, 'The role of the comedian is to bring light into the darkness of all the terrorist tragedies and fears we all share,' and then you see them on stage and they're like, 'Married butt smells different than single butt.'" John Cleese said, "I think comedy shows should say, 'Warning! This show contains attempts to make you laugh and should not be watched by anyone of a disposition so anxious that ideas different from their own may cause their emotional collapse.'" Daniel Ek is the chief executive of Spotify. He addressed the Joe Rogan stuff on Sunday, telling staff in a memo he found the comments incredibly hurtful and inconsistent with the company's values, but he did not believe silencing Joe Rogan was the answer. He said the company had engaged in conversations with Joe Rogan and his team about some of the content in his show, including his history of using some racially insensitive language. Following these discussions and his own reflections, Joe Rogan chose to remove a number of episodes from Spotify. "I deeply regret that you, staff, for carrying so much of this burden. I also want to be transparent in setting the expectation that in order to achieve our goal becoming the global audio platform, these kinds of disputes will be inevitable. The Rock is now distancing himself from Joe Rogan. You may recall last week when the medical stuff was the controversy, Dwayne Johnson took to social media and wrote, "Great stuff, your brother. Perfectly articulated. Look forward to coming on one day and breaking out the tequila with you." After this weekend's controversy, author Don Winslow tweeted Dwayne Johnson and said, "Hey, The Rock, you're a hero to many people, and using your platform to defend Joe Rogan, a guy that used and laughed about using the N-word dozens of times, is a terrible use of your power. Have you actually listened to this man's many racist statements about black people?" Dwayne Johnson, whose father, wrestler Rocky Johnson, was black, responded to Winslow, writing, "Thank you so much for this. I hear you as well as everyone here 100%. I was not aware of his N-word use prior to my comments, but now I've become educated to his complete narrative. Learning moment for me." I think Joe Rogan's going to weather this storm for several reasons. One, I'm a student of the news cycle, and I feel like, and this is terrible, Ukraine is going to happen, and everyone is going to totally forget about this and be focused on that. Super Bowl will distract people. That said, I won't be shocked if I have to jump in the studio and do some sort of bonus episode with Joe Rogan breaking news, something, something, something. Very interesting story here. Now, TMZ says Joe Rogan getting called out for repeatedly using the N-word is getting an expected whataboutism treatment, with comparisons being made to Howard Stern. Rogan fans are going, "But what about Howard Stern?" TMZ writes, "Stern has donned blackface in some instances, but one making the rounds now is a sketch he did in 1993 where he was mocking the Ted Danson Whoopi Goldberg incident. Howard Stern played the part of Ted. Sherman Hemsley, you know, George Jefferson, portrayed Whoopi. Stern as Ted drops the N-word a lot as he lampoons the real-life event. Howard Stern addressed the moment a few years ago, saying he regretted the Ted Danson blackface gag." So you have that parallel there of Howard did something, apologize. Rogan did something, apologize. Again, we'll see how this shakes out. Pete Davidson in the news every day. And I bounce two or three Pete Davidson stories because today's podcast is long. From the New York Post, the Mayor Adams administration in New York City is giving Pete Davidson and Colin Jost extra time to find a docking spot for that retired Staten Island ferry that they want to turn into a comedy club. They bought the John F. Kennedy for $280,100. As of Saturday, it was still on city property. Well past the 10 business days they were required to move the ferry by. Their partner in this, club owner Paul Italia, spoke to the Post and said, "They're working with us, meeting the city. They know it's not an easy task and they're being very helpful. The group wants to hire two tugboats and tow the ferry to an undetermined pier in Brooklyn or Staten Island where it will sit through the renovations." Industry insiders said the group should expect to pay $100,000 to $150,000 a year to park the boat in the city. The boat was initially supposed to be moved by February 2nd. The group in the city then settled on February 4th, and now we'll see what happens. Got a lot of health news to tell you about. Welcome to the health section of Daily Comedy News. Patton Oswalt announced via social media he had to reschedule some shows in Austin and Dallas over the weekend. Why? He broke his foot in two places. Meanwhile, News10.com says that Chelsea Handler had to cancel two of her shows after a, quote, scare landed her in the hospital. She made the announcement via Instagram from what appears to be a hospital bed. In the video, she apologized for the cancellations, did not elaborate on the scare, and said, "I'm sorry that I had to cancel, but I'm okay, and I'm not pregnant." Joe Coy's like, whew. 12news.com says that Heather McDonald canceled on stage at her show at the Tempe Improv. She was on stage for about 3 minutes when she suddenly collapsed and hit her head. Her management team said she was hospitalized with a skull fracture after losing consciousness from the fall. The spokesperson said she may have lost consciousness because of dehydration. She was tested and does not have COVID. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by All Pro Lines. That is the podcast that combines jokes and football. Comedian Kostaki Economopoulos and comedy guru, that's what I'm calling you now, Aaron Hodges, they are your hosts. I am the Carlos Mencia of Primos. I steal jokes from the All Pro Lines Twitter account, which describes itself as where pro football and pro comedians collide. I see. The All Pro Lines crew watched the Pro Bowl and said, "There's no tackling. It's like the All-Stars take turns playing the Jets defense. Love it." They also retweeted Conan O'Brien, who said, "Everybody talks about the Super Bowl, but what about the excitement of not watching the Pro Bowl?" And they retweeted a Mookie in the Morning, whoever that is, who wrote, "Of course I'm watching the Pro Bowl. As a Vikings fan, I'm used to meaningless games." The All-Pro Lions guys also got into the renaming of the Washington football team that had a different name before they were the Washington football team. They are now the Washington Commanders. The joke, a whole team of commanders? Sounds like too many Chiefs, not enough Indians. All-Pro Lions, wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, did you see the t-shirts? I made some t-shirts. If you want to support the show, as you know, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. If you go there, you can throw money in the tip jar. I take your money, and where do I go? I go to the National Donuts chain. Well, if you want to take another route on this, I made up some National Donuts chain t-shirts. You can order those. There's a link in the show notes. There's a link on the Facebook group. I could read a link to you right now, but it's really, really complicated. I have to figure out an easier way to do it. There is actually, if you go to dailycomedynews.com in the sidebar, there's a link to the t-shirt. But it's a t-shirt that says National Donuts under a picture of a donut. Pretty snazzy. You can order one. Now, the t-shirts are $20, and then they're going to charge you shipping. I will get five of those dollars. I'm just being totally transparent here. I made the t-shirts as inexpensive as I possibly could to still get them executed. And for the company that does the t-shirts to print them, we're going to have to sell 30 of them. Okay. So if you want to support the show, you can go to dailycomedynews.com in the sidebar or check the show notes for this episode and you can get a National Donuts chain t-shirt, $20 plus shipping, and that'll help support the show. Scott Beckett, I saw you ordered one before I really started promoting this thing. Thank you very much. Okay, so that's on the sidebar of dailycomedynews.com or in the show notes for this episode. What else? I watched Murderville. Thought it was pretty funny. Was enjoying Conan O'Brien, so you want to check that out. That's on Netflix. I did wind up doing those Robin Williams episodes. I shared one of those on the Buy Me a Coffee page. I didn't gate it or anything. So if you just want to like whore the episode and listen to it early, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews right now and hear one of the two Robin Williams episodes. But I will release those on this feed at some point in the future. When I'm traveling, there's some kind of kerfluffle with Leslie Jones from KURL8. She had been tweeting about her love of the Olympics, and with the Olympics back, she'd been tweeting again, but then she posted on Twitter that she doesn't stay anywhere I'm not welcomed, with an extended message reading that she's tired of fighting with the folks who don't want her to tweet. So did somebody at NBC say cut it out? Not sure what's going on there. But somebody must have said, hey, stop tweeting about the Olympics. And she's like, okay, I got this Jimmy Carr thing. I feel like this is so much today in light of Rogan. Let's save Jimmy Carr for tomorrow. And let's call it a show. That's your comedy news for today. Come back and I'll tell you about the Jimmy Carr kerfluffle. Whew, so much going on. Follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows, Instagram at Daily Comedy News. There's a Reddit subreddit, Daily Comedy News. You can buy a t-shirt, buy me a coffee, all that stuff. I am exhausted from today. See you tomorrow.